Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Suta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimasharanya were confident that Srila Suta Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. Vedatvam samyatat sarvam tatvatastad anugrahat bruyo snigdasya sishyasya guruvo guhyamaputa. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Hare Krishna. So I request the blessings of everyone present, especially Kripa Mahaprabhu, senior devotee. He's a spiritual master, officially. And I'm trying to speak about spiritual masters, so it is not appropriate. You're welcome to come. Would you like to? Thank you. I'm not submissive, but I got blessings anyway. Thank you very much. Yesterday's purport describe the qualifications of someone to sit on the Vyasasan, remember? Unfortunately, Prabhupada didn't follow this strictly, because the qualification is beyond most of us. It's definitely beyond me. One has to be familiar. One has to be able to completely explain the various systems of philosophy, the 6 philosophical systems, who are taught by Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Patanjali, Jaimini, and Ashtavakra. Today's verse, we move to the qualifications of the disciple. For there to be a healthy relationship, the guru and the disciple must both be qualified. So what are the qualifications of the disciple? Well, the word saumya is used, which means pure and simple. We don't want a cheating disciple. Honest disciple. Actually, Gautama is mentioned in the previous purport. There's a story of Satyakama Jabala, who went to Gautam Rishi and asked to be taught. Now, Gautam Rishi, he had a policy that only Brahmins would be his disciples. So he asked this boy, who is your father? Wanted to check his line, what gotra he's in. And the child didn't know. So he went to his mother and asked, and his mother said, well, I had many friends, and I don't know who your father is. Actually, there's one lecture Prabhupada discusses this pastime. So Satyakama, he went back to Gautama Rishi and says, I don't know who my father is. So Gautama accepted him, said, oh, you're honest, so you're Brahminical. So he accepted him as a disciple. So this is the teaching of Narada Muni. Yasya laktam om proktam pumsho varna bivanjakam yat anyatrapi drishyetat tat tenaiva vinirjishyet. If you see the qualifications in the character of a person who comes from a different family, you should judge them by the character and not by the family. It's one of the fundamental teachings. And if it were not for those teachings, we wouldn't have any brahmanas from Western origin, would we? No one's from a family of Brahmins in the West. So our whole Sampradaya, well, Prabhupada's extending of the Sampradaya to the West is based on this principle. So the disciple must be honest. You see, that's how Satyakama passed the test. And actually the word Satyakama means truthful. He's very truthful. So that's one of the qualifications. Also, Snigdasya in the verse, which means submissive. No one wants to teach a rowdy student. You know, when I did a bit of teacher training, there was a little dispute amongst teachers. Some thought their job was to teach the subject. And others thought that they had to do more than that. They had to learn how to manage children who didn't want to learn. So you go to some teachers, they like the subject, but they don't like the fact that they have to teach people who are very rowdy and they don't want to learn the subject. Now in the Vedic system, it is centered around the guru, and the guru's life is centered around Krishna. Therefore, we have a Krishna-centric system. When I was in Mayapur, I used to teach Westerners and Indians. And the Indians were a lot easier to teach because they still had some kind of culture of respect for the teacher. So to be a suitable student, one must be snigda or submissive. So here's a story from the Mahabharata. It gives you an idea of the importance of being submissive. And I've actually told this story before, but repetition of a good thing is good. It's a story of Upamanyu and Yudhadaumya Rishi. Do you know this story? Remember it? You know. So Upamanyu, his service to his guru, Daumya Rishi, was to take the cows out and allow them to graze all day. So after several days, his guru asked him, you know, Upamanyu, you're very fat looking. You know, what are you eating? So he explained, well, I collect alms. While the cows are grazing, I collect alms and I eat. So the guru chastised him. He said, you should understand that when you collect alms, you're supposed to give it to the guru. You don't just eat it yourself. So after several more days, Daumya Rishi could see that Upamanyu was still very fat. So he asked him, are you still eating? And he said, well, first of all, I collect alms for you, and then I collect alms for myself. He got chastised again. Everything you collect should be for the guru. Several days pass, same scenario. He's looking rather well fed. He asked him, how are you maintaining yourself? Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jai. So Upamanyu said, well, I drink the milk from the cows. And his guru said, that milk is not for you, it's for the calves. You please desist from this practice. Several further days passed. You could see he's still looking rather energetic, full of life. You know, big muscles. Asked him, what are you doing? Are you still eating? And he said, well, what I do is when the calves are drinking, some of the froth from the milk falls out their mouths, and I eat that. So he got chastised one more time. And I want you to eat nothing. Zero. So Upamanyu, he's getting very hungry now. He's following his guru's instructions. But he gets so hungry, he decides he's going to eat some leaves. So he picks some leaves from the arka plant. Apparently it's poisonous. So then what happens is he goes blind, and he's stumbling around in the forest, and he falls into a ditch. So then that night, his guru becomes very, very distressed. Where is Upamanyu? Maybe I've chastised him too much. Maybe he's scared to come back. So he goes into the forest and he's shouting, Upamanyu, where are you? And he hears a voice. Upamanyu's in a ditch and he calls. So he explains everything to his guru what happened. So his guru says, what I want you to do is I want you to offer prayers to the Ashwini Kumaras. They can help you. Of course, we know they are physicians for the demigods. So Upamanyu offers these lovely prayers to the Ashwini Kumaras, and then they appear. And then they say to him, we have prasadam for you. If you eat this prasadam, your sight will be restored. So Upamanyu says, I cannot eat. I have not had permission to eat from my guru. And then the Ashwini Kumara said, do not worry. Previously, we gave the same prasad to your guru, and he did not offer it to his guru, so you can take. And Upamanyu said, no, unless I get permission, I will not take. So the Ashwini Kumaras were very pleased with his submissive attitude. He'd learned his lesson. So they gave him his eyesight back. And then when Daumya Rishi heard about his disciple, how he had been so submissive. He was very pleased with him, and he blessed him with spiritual vision. So the moral of the story, if you're submissive, you will get your spiritual eyesight, which is what we want, the Jnana Chakshu, or the Shastra Chakshu. So that's a nice story. It's from the Mahabharata. Now, here's another word, Shishya. What does Shishya mean? Disciple, yes. So one lecture, Prabhupada explained, it comes from the Shastatu. Anyone know the Shastatu? It means to punish or to control. It also means to teach. So Shishya means teachable. It's one of the meanings of Shishya. But disciple, what does disciple mean? Disciple means discipline. So like we have with words in Sanskrit, like Shastra. Shastra, with the short E, it means a weapon. It's a way you punish someone. And Shastra, with a long A, means the law books, which is how you control. So the idea of Vedic society is you must be controlled. How are you controlled? You're controlled by the book, the law book. Dharma mulo hi Bhagavan. All dharma comes from Krishna, Bhagavan. He lays down the law, and it's in the book. Therefore, we're all controlled by the book, Shastra. And what if we don't want to follow? Then the king, he's very powerful. He has the weapon. He has the sword. He will force us to follow through threats, and that is Shastra. So for the guru-disciple relationship to work, there must be this discipline. And we see this can break down. On Kripa Prabhu Moy's blog, he once gave a discussion about the guru, and he was explaining that nowadays people don't really want to bow down to a spiritual authority. They would rather have some kind of discussion. But we understand that according to the Vedic system, you get better results when you bow down to the guru. We have the example of, is it Gargamuni? He said to Prabhupada, because he was sincere, he said, I don't want to bow down. I don't feel like bowing down to you, Srila Prabhupada. Is that okay? And what did Prabhupada say? He said, no, you should bow down and it will benefit you. So if we make the effort to be humble, we will be benefited. First time I ever bowed down, it was at an Amhat. Because I went to visit the Hare Krishnas and I was thinking, I'm not one of them, but I'm interested. So they would all bow down and say these prayers in Sanskrit. And I would just sit there. The third time I went, I just decided I'll sit there as they offer prayers as normal. And then to this day, I don't know what happened, but some force entered me and I just bowed down without even thinking about it. And I was like, I didn't choose to do that. It's like I was possessed by some force that made me bow down. Anyway, that's Krishna's arrangement to my... He's helping me become humble. And I was just thinking, I'm on the outside looking in at these Hare Krishnas. And then I bowed down, and after doing that a few times, I started to feel, actually, I'm one of them. You know, just my whole mood changed. So this is the essence of sadhana. Sadhana means, it's like when you have your car won't start, and you give it a push start. It doesn't really want to start, but you push it, and then it kind of starts itself. So sadhana is like that. We try and we chant Hare Krishna, we chant so many rounds, and then when we progress, it will happen spontaneously. The holy name will dance on our tongues. So this is sadhana. This is how we become qualified. I think I'll pause here and we've got 7 minutes left. It's not so far it's been short, but we don't have much time. This is Dhammadharastika. Any comments or questions? Otherwise, I will carry on. Keep going, okay. There are a number of verses from the scriptures that describe the guru and the disciple. For example, we have Tadvigyanartam Sagurum Eva Bhugachet Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Now if you do a search in the Vedabase, what are the qualifications of the bona fide spiritual master? Many times Srila Prabhupada will say he must be learned in scriptures and fixed in transcendence. So if you consider this verse from the Upanishads, the guru is Shrotriya, which means fixed, well-versed, and Brahmanishta means he's fixed in transcendence. So I think that's where Prabhupada gets this from. And the disciple, tadvijñānārtha, means he must be approaching for the right reasons. Not to get material blessings, but vijñānārtha, his actual desire is spiritual knowledge. And samitpani means, well, it literally means he's carrying firewood. But it can mean he's submissive. Like the Bhagavad Gita, tadvidi prani patina parit prashina sevya upadek shanti te gyana gyaninas tadvidarshanaha. The three things must be there. Pariprashna, he must question. Sevaya, he must serve. And pranipat means he must surrender. What does pra mean? It means complete surrender. Prabhupada explains, prakrishta rupena nipat. Nipat means you surrender or you fall at the feet. But prakrishta means complete surrender. In one lecture, Prabhupada was explaining, if you do not surrender, you don't render service, then you have no right to ask a question. You see, you can question the guru, but you have a right. You only have a right to question the guru if you're prepared to surrender to the guru. That's the deal. You had a question, Hare Krishna.